The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For Hetrei Iska, loans and collections, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Kiddushin Daf Chofches. The Mishnah over here says, Kol Anas Adomim Ba'achir. Anything that money or value with something else, once one party acquired the item, the other party is obligated with exchange of that item. The Gemara understands that this is referring to the Kinyan Chalipin. And the Mishnah continues, Ketan, how do you have, for example, Hichlif Shor Bipara, if one person exchanged a ox for a cow, Oy Chamor Bishor, or a donkey for an ox, Kimesh Azorazé, once one of them acquired one item, Nizchayv Zeh B'Chalipov, the opposite party is obligated to give him the exchange of that item. And this Mishnah is the source for the Kinyan Chalipin, the Kinyan of exchange. As you are probably familiar with, there are many types of Kinyanim, about 10, 11. One of them is called Kinyan Chalipin. And with this, I would like to devote the rest of the shiur to discussions about Kinyan Chalipin. Or perhaps actually a subgroup of Kinyan Chalipin. Kinyan Chalipin could really be divided into two. The typical Chalipin, but the Chalipin the Mishnah talks about, which is a Chalipin that would be most easily understood as the literal translation of Chalipin is where one party does barter with another party and they switch, they make an exchange of one item for another item. For example, like what the Mishnah says, an ox for a donkey, it could be anything for anything, it could be tomatoes for apples, so on and so forth. There's another type of Kinyan which is really the concept and the category of Chalipin, but somewhat different. It's called Kinyan Sudar, the Kinyan of a handkerchief. In essence, what happens with the Kinyan Sudar is that one party is being koine, is acquiring from another party. The party that is being koina, that is acquiring, gives a kerchief to the giver, and with that the recipient gives a kerchief to the giver acquires, transfers possession, the item that he is giving over to the recipient. So it's similar to Chalipin in the sense that just like Chalipin is an exchange, one item for another item. Here as well, the way the Kinyan transpires is with an exchange, with the form of the recipient giving to the giver transfers possession to the recipient. So again, the recipient gives the kerchief to the giver, and with that, the giver picks up the kerchief. The giver has transferred possession, the item that he's intending to give to the recipient. No sooner than they do that, the giver actually returns the kerchief to the recipient who gave him the kerchief. This is commonly known as Kinyan Sudar, and in fact, it's a very common Kinyan. In fact, when we say Stam Kinyan, a regular Kinyan that's talked about in Gemara, Rishayim, Shulchan Aruch, it's usually referring to this type of kinyan, kinyan sudar. It perhaps is more common than you may think of at first glance, and I will give you some examples. For example, when you go to sell chametz to the Rav, you are in essence appointing the Rav to be your shliach, your agent, to sell chametz for you to the guy. And as the Rambam says, we make a kinyan. The way to appoint, although it's it could be chal, it could work without this, but l'chatchila, we go and we, as a way of appointing the Rav to be a shliach, we make a form of kinyan. Which kinyan? The kinyan sudar. What happens is the Rav gives a kerchief to the congregant, and with that the congregant picks up the sudar, the kerchief, or some other thing, he is giving the power to the Rav to be his shliach. So again, he's receiving the kerchief, and with that he receives the kerchief, he gave the power to the Rav. Another common case where we use kinyan sudar is by a chasana. By a chasana, the chasin has to be meshabe to the kala, the shibud of a ksuba, which is the debt of money that he's responsible to pay if he will die before her or if he will divorce her. And the way he gives that debt to his wife is with the kinyan sudar. It's effectuated with a kinyan sudar. And as we will soon explain, that kinyan sudar is a little different than the regular kinyan sudar. So before we explain how the kinyan sudar of a ksuba is a little different and how exactly it works, I will just mention a few basic halachas that apply to kinyan sudar. To make a kinyan sudar, you need to use something that's a keli, like a utensil. It could be a yarmulke, it could be a glove, it could be a pen, it could be any other type of keli. It could be a cup. Commonly, a yarmulke or handkerchief are used. Now, if a person gives a garment, and he's not going to give the entire garment, then it has to be at least the size of 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Some say even if he's giving the entire garment, it's proper not to use a garment that's less than 3 fingers than 3 fingers. So that would tell us that l'chatchil it's better not to use a gartel, because a gartel is not 3 fingers by 3 fingers. The item that is being used for kinyan sudar should belong to the one who's using it for kinyan sudar, and the recipient of the sudar, the one who the sudar is being given to, should take possession of that sudar. How does he take possession of that sudar? Either he lifts it up 3 tefachim, or he puts it totally in his hand. Lifting up 3 tefachim means he lifts up a little bit, a place that's lifted above a table or the ground, 3 tefachim. Now let's get back to the case of the ksuba. As I mentioned, the case of the kinyan sudar that's used by the ksuba, which is done by a chasana, is a little different than the the simple form of Kinyan Suda. In what way is it different? It's as follows. The Chasson is giving the Shibud, the debt, to the Kala. Now, who gives the Ksudar to the Chasson? The Chasson has to give it to the Kala. So the simple form would have been that the Kala would take a kerchief that she has, a yarmulke, or anything that she has, a pen, a yarmulke, give it to the Chasson, and with the Chasson taking possession of that yarmulke, he would be giving the debt to his Kala, to his future wife. But that's not how we do it. The way we do it, they sit by a Kabbalah Sponim, and one of the two Edim who sign on the Ksuba take a kerchief and give it to the Chasson. And with that, they one of the Edim give it to the Chasson. They are, and the Chasson picks it up. In that way, the Chasson is giving the debt to the Kala. This is called Kinyan Sudar Al Yidei Acherim, the Kinyan of a kerchief through others. In other words, there's somebody else other than the recipient who's giving the kerchief and is making this transfer of ownership. He's assisting and helping and making this acquisition. So the question comes, how does such a thing work? And as I would like to explain, there are three ways. We find in Achronim three different ways how to understand this. Some understand that and this seems to be the understanding of the Sma, that the Edim, or it's actually one Ed, one of those two people that sign on the Shtar, on the Ksuba, act as a Shliach, as an agent for the Kala, to make the kinyan for her to acquire from the chasson. Now, throughout this discussion, I'm going to use the example of a chasson and kala. It's just easier to picture it, I think, and it's easier with the names. But in truth, this is done, certainly it was done in the times of Gemara, and it can be done in many other situations. In the times of Gemara, apparently that was the standard way of making most kinyanim that were written in Ashtar. That, in other words, one of the Edim, one of those that signed on the Ashtar, would be the one that executed the kinyan on behalf of one of the parties, on behalf of the recipient. So in truth, this discussion is to explain many such examples. And there are many other scenarios where it does explain, even in today's day, we do use Kinyan Suda De'achem and other examples other than just like Suba. But this is one of the most, this is something that we see regularly, and people are very familiar with, and that's why I'll use this example. It's also easier to use the names of the Chasson and the Kala and the Aid. So this Ma understands that the aid acts as an agent for the Kala, and he is her shliach to be koina for her. So when the aid is giving the kerchief, although he's using his kerchief, he's doing it for her, and he's being koina for her. So theoretically, the chasson is sort of giving it to the aid, he's giving the debt to the aid, and the aid acquires it for, on behalf of the Kala. Others explain it otherwise. There's a kinyan called Eve Kinani. You can take a look in the Ketzoy Tachoyesh and Simikuf Tadihei, Sivkot and Tess, and other Achrayim. Others explain it that it's like Eve Kenani. How can an Eve Kenani redeem himself? How can an Eve Kenani go free? One of the ways he can go free is if somebody redeems him. Let's say somebody else, other than the Eved, will give the master the value of the Eved to buy him, to free him. With that, the Eved Kenani can become freed. So in such a case, when another person is freeing the Eved, this outside party gives money on behalf, sort of on behalf of the Eved. Now he's not a shliach of the Eved. He's giving money for the purpose of the Eved going out free. So there's one person, there's one party that gives the money, but the result of that money is beneficial for a third party. And that's what's happening here, according to some achrayim. The aid makes the power, makes the kinyan, makes the ma'isikin, makes the power of acquisition to the chasan. The aid gives the sudar to the chasan. And when he does so, the chasan, instead of the chasan giving in return, in exchange for that sudar, the debt to the one that gave in the kerchief, to the aid that gave in the kerchief, instead, he gives it over to the kala. So according to this method, according to this understanding, it's not that the aid acts as an agent to receive that debt on behalf of the kala, but rather the chasin is giving the debt directly to the kala. It's able to be chal directly to the kala with the form of kinyin called Eve Kenani. It's a combination of kinyan sudor and Eve Kenani at once. It's the type of kinyan called kinyan sudor in the form of Eve Kenani, which Eve Kenani means that like one person is the one that's the giver, and the another person is the one who's going to be the recipient. A case of Eve Kenani, let's say by money, would be that if I would go to Walmart, suppose there would be a Walmart owned by Eid, and I would go and give the cashier $10 and say, I'm giving you $10 that to buy a towel for my friend Shmerel. And with that, I'll pay you cashier $10, Shmerel will be the one to be koine the towel. Similarly, the aid is giving a sudar to the chasen, so that the chasen should go ahead and give over a debt to the kala. Then a third way of understanding how it works is found in the Sefer Makne over here in Kiddushin Daf Chavov, that it's brought down in Rebbe Akiva Eiger on the side of Shulchan Aruch, Simek Kuf Tzadi. And Rebbe Akiva Eiger, in the name of the Makne, he quotes, he says, to look in the Sefer Makne, and the Makne explains that the aid sort of puts down the sudar, or even if he hands it over, but really what's happening is that first the chasen picks up that sudar, the chasen picks up that kerchief or whatever keli it may be, and is koinit on behalf of the kala. It becomes the kala's kerchief. It becomes her yarmulke. She becomes the owner of that yarmulke. Then a second later, the chasen goes ahead and is koinit that yarmulke from the kala for the purpose of giving over the debt in exchange for that yarmulke to the kala. So in essence, according to this explanation, the aid who gave the kerchief was not doing anything of the kinyan. He's not a shliach, and he's not doing Eve Kenani. He is simply releasing his own ownership of that kerchief that he has. The chasen first acquires that kerchief on behalf of the kala, then he takes it away from the kala, with the willingness, of course, of the kala, for the purpose of giving her back in exchange the debt of the ksuba. So it's working directly between the chasen and the kala. The kala is giving the kerchief to the chasen, and with that, the kala gives the kerchief to the chasen gives the debt to the kala. And although the kala is not present, it all worked because the aid gave away his kerchief for the kala. It's important to understand that there are three different understandings of Kinyan Suda de Acherin. Because now that we understand that there are three different opinions, it is better not to choose one specific one. If there would be one understanding, so then we could say it's best to the chassan should understand how it's working, and he'll go about making the kinyan with the understanding, with that understanding. But being that there are three different ways of understanding how it works, it's better not to have in mind that one is trying to do it one way. Rather, one should just have in mind that he's trying to do it whichever way it works. Kinyan Suda de Acherin for sure works. There's a machloikis, as mentioned, how it works, what the lumdis, what the mechanics of this kinyan is. But according to everybody, it works. So best is to say, or have in mind, that one is trying to do this kinyan of Suda de Acherin with whichever way possible that it works. No matter how it works, one doesn't have to understand how it works. They just have to realize that with that, that they pick up that kerchief, the chassan just has to realize with that he picks up that kerchief, he is in essence being koine that kerchief, and with that he's koine the kerchief, with that he's acquiring the kerchief, he is giving over a debt to the kala. Or in the same, a similar vein, whenever a person does this kinyan suda de acherim, the one that receives the kerchief should have in mind that they're doing this type of kinyan called kinyan sudar de acherim, and with that they are giving over whatever item or debt it is that they're trying to give over.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.